It was songwriters such as Irving Berlin that, according to Bing, deserved much of the credit for his recording success.
Well, I think it was 90% of whatever success these records achieved. Singer's only as good as his material, and they didn't come to me with songs in, like, a case of Rodgers and Hart, but it was a coup to get them to write a picture. Well, I asked for songwriters rather than they came to me. Those kind of songwriters.
Those kind of songwriters, including such magical musical names as Cole Porter, George and Ira Gershwin, Johnny Mercer, Hoagy Carmichael, Johnny Burke, Jimmy Van Heusen, and Sammy Kahn. In fact, all the top men wrote for Crosby at some time or another. But many of the thousands of songs he recorded were written by teens with Jimmy Van Heusen a common factor.
I'd heard his records, and it'd been my ambition to write for him from when I was a very young man when I first started to write songs.
Jimmy Van Heusen was almost, you might say, the official melody writer for Bing Crosby. And at that point in Mr. Van Heusen's life, if he needed lyrics, I supplied them.
Master lyricist, Sammy Kahn.
When I asked Van Heusen what kind of a man Bing was to write for, he said he's very, very simple to write for. He never, ever turns down a song.
Deep within my heart lies a melody, a song of old San Antone, where in dreams I live with a memory beneath the stars all alone. It was there I found beside the Alamo enchantment strange as the blue up above. For that moonlit pass by the Alamo and rose my rose of San Antone.
And make believe
said them all to you.
Three more Golden Crosby hits. Another was the Academy Award winning song for the 1937 picture Waikiki Wedding.
Sweet Leilani, heavenly flower, nature-fashioned roses kissed with dew. And then she placed them in a bower. That was the start of you. Sweet Leilani, heavenly flower, I dreamed of paradise for two. You are my paradise completed. You are my dream come true.
Sweet Leilani, Sweet Flower of Heaven, written by composer bandleader Harry Owens for his daughter of the same name and immortalized by Bing.
Oh, yes, and that damn near didn't get in the picture at all. The producer was a man named Arthur Hornblow. Had some brilliant successes producing pictures. I think he came from the New York Theater originally. But he was a difficult man. If he had something that he thought should be done, you just had to do it that way. And a score had been done before I left on a vacation to Hawaii. And while I was over there, I heard a song that was a big hit in Hawaii at that time. Everybody was playing it and singing it. And I came back, and the picture score had been finished. The script was finished. And I saw a spot where this song would go very good. He said, no chance. With all the songs we need, they're good songs. We don't need any more. And there's no reason for its inclusion. I told him, well, it's a hit in Hawaii, and we got the benefit of knowing it's a hit, and it's very likely it'll become a hit in America, too, so why not take advantage of that? So finally we went in to start the picture, and we come to that scene, and I went to the mat again with him. He said, no, I'm not going to do it. So I went out to the golf course. I said, well, when you change your mind, I'll be back. And the picture's about half finished then. And we stewed a day or two, and he finally said, well, put it in. Put the damn thing in. So we did it.
Another film song to earn Bing both a gold record and an Academy Award was the Burke Van Heusen composition for the 1944 movie Going My Way, for which Bing also picked up a Best Actor Oscar.
As a matter of fact, when we were told to write Swinging on a Star, we were told to write the Ten Commandments.
The composer, Jimmy Van Heusen.
The scene in the picture is a bunch of dead-end kids that are raising heck, and he's trying to show them the right way. And we were told to write the Ten Commandments to a rhythm song. And it wasn't until one night we were at Bing's house when one of his boys was acting up, and he said, Bing said, well, you want to be a mule? And that sparked the idea for, would you like to swing on a star, or would you rather be a mule?
Or would you like to swing on a star, carry moonbeams home in a jar, and be better off than you are?
Or would you rather be a pig?
The group backing Bing on that record were the Williams brothers. One of them, Andy, is, of course, now a big international star in his own right.
I was like 14 or 15 years old. My brothers and I had been singing together since I was a little boy. Well, I was, awestruck. He's the originator. He's the beginning of pop singing. He's the man who changed the form of popular music. Before Bing, everybody just sang sort of straight and legitimate and stiff, kind of like Cezanne, who changed the visual pattern of painting. Well, Bing has done the same thing with popular music. In the movie Going My Way, there was a choir of young boys. So we were brought in to back Bing up on that one particular record. We got $100.
A pig is an animal with dirt on his face. Your shoes are a terrible disgrace.
He has no manners when he eats his food. He's fat and lazy and extremely rude.
But if you don't care a feather or a fig, you may grow up to be a pig.
Oh, would you like to swing on a star? Harry Moonbeam's home in a jar. And be better off than you are.
Or would you rather be a fish?
A fish won't do anything but swim in a brook. He can't write his name or read a book. To fool the people is his only thought. And though he's slippery, he still gets caught.
But then if that sort of life is what you wish, you may grow up to be a fish.
Going My Way also produced a second gold record for Bing, Tura Lura Lura.
Tura Lura Lura. Tura Lura Lura. Tura Lura Lura. Hush, now don't you cry.
Of course, made a score of Irish songs over the years, yet it was a former record store owner, Milt Gabler, who joined Decca Records as an A&R man who was instrumental in getting him to record them.
I was one of the few stores in New York that had a great stock of Irish records. And Bing, to me, was like the number one Irish American. Although he was a baritone, he didn't sing like McCormick or any of those fellows. I thought it was time to do the Irish standards with a baritone, as popular as a guy named Bing Crosby.
If you ever go across the sea to Ireland, then maybe at the closing of your day, you will sit and watch the moon rise over Clyde. And watch the barefoot gossoons at their play. Just to hear again the ripple of the trout stream. The women in the meadows making hay. And to sit beside a turf fire in the cabin. And see the sun go down on Galway Bay.
Irish songs, Hawaiian songs, Spanish songs, Christmas songs. And that's one of the great secrets of Bing's success. He built up, as Milt Gabler explains, a truly fantastic repertoire.
Bing sang everything and catered to everyone's tastes, and everyone loved him.
Give me land, lots of land under starry skies. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze and listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in. Just turn me loose, let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western skies.
On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences and gaze at the moon till I lose my senses.
and I can't look at hobbles, and I can't stand fences. No fence me in,
no.
Papa, don't you fence me in.
Bing with the Andrews sisters, Patty, Maxine, and Laverne in 1944. Theirs was a partnership which produced a string of hits, four of which struck gold. It was Decca Records founder Jack Capp who got them together.
In fact, he was the first one to think of the idea of coupling stars together, you know, and he set up the date, and they picked out the tunes, and then we made the arrangements, and then Bing came in, and we'd give him a printed sheet of the lyrics, and it would say Bing, and then it would say trio, and then Bing, trio, and so forth and so on. And that's how we did it.
Lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol packing mama, lay that pistol down. Oh, drinking beer in a cabaret, was I having fun? Until one night she caught me right, now I'm on the run.
Oh, lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol packing mama, lay that pistol down.
You know, there's a little line in that record, I don't know whether you've listened to it or not, but he says, lay that thing down before it goes off and hurts somebody. Well, he just threw that in when we were making the take. We didn't know that he was going to do it. And we literally fell on the floor.
Oh, I sing you every night, Bing, and I'll woo you every day. I'll be your regular mama, and I'll put that gun away.
Oh, lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol packing mama, lay the thing down before it goes off and hurts somebody. Oh, she kicked out my windshield and she hit me over the head. She cussed and cried and said I'd lied and she wished that I was dead.
Oh, lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol packing mama, lay that pistol down. With three tough gals from deep down Texas way, we got no pals. They don't like the way we play. We're a rough, rootin', tootin', shootin' trio, but you ought to see my sister Cleo. She's a terror, make no error, but there ain't no lassie fair, is what we tell her.
Lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol baggin' mama, lay that pistol down.
Pistol Packin' Mama was made on September the 27th, 1943, a memorable session for Bing because on that same date they did Jingle Bells, another gold record. 6 years later, on the 26th of October, 1949, he repeated the golden double when he made Dear Hearts and Gentle People and McNamara's Band in one session. In fact, those 6 years saw Bing at the very peak of his powers. He made 11 gold records. As others have already suggested, much of the credit for those halcyon years goes to the late Jack Capp. His brother Dave explains.
In those days, there were only two record companies, there was Victory and Columbia, only two. And my father had to go out with a horse and a wagon, just knock on doors, just to see if he can sell a record. And finally, he opened up a little store, and then he started Capp Records. And the first song recorded was the one by Bing. And he had those. That was the beginning of Decca Records. And here they got an idea to make a recording of 35-cent records. Nobody had ever seen anything like that. And Bing made the first records for Decca.
Jack Capp was a tremendously competent A&R man for Brunswick. And he'd become involved in the new company, Decca. And I was much impressed with what he'd done, and I had great faith in him, and he kind of developed a recording program for me that involved every kind of music and singing with every kind of a band, every kind of a vocal group, religious songs, patriotic songs, Victor Herbert, some of the light opera songs, everything imaginable. I thought he was crazy, but I had confidence and went along with his suggestions, and it gave me a very expanded repertoire of stuff which most of those other singers at that time hadn't bothered to get into. And I just did exactly what he told me to do, and it worked.
I remember that during those early days in Decca, the whole company was literally geared around Bing's production.
Bing's former record producer, Sonny Burke.
Jack Catt was one of the first men in the record business to believe solidly in building a catalog. Jack Capp wanted as much product from Bing as possible. So there, in every calendar year, there were nearly always a half dozen Crosby projects. And again, it was a case of Bing coming over between shots on the set at Paramount, knocking in a couple of sides, going back to the picture studio, and they were accumulated that way.
To play some simple melody like my mother sang to me, one with a good old-fashioned harmony. Play some simple melody.
Irving Berlin's Play a Simple Melody, Bing's golden debut on disc with the eldest of his seven children, Gary, made in June 1950. Berlin wrote it in 1910. For Gary Crosby, just 2 days short of 17, that recording session was a complete surprise.
And he said, come on, get dressed, you're coming with me. I said, okay. So I got dressed and went with him. I said, where are we going? I said, down, we're going to make a record. I said, okay. And we ran it through a couple times, we did it, and off we went. And we were gone for 3 months. Up in the northeast corner of Nevada, and you just get country music up there. And when we came back, somebody said we'd sold a million records.
Musical demons, that's your honey dream, and won't you play me some rag? Just change that classical
my mother
to some sweet,
to
beautiful drag. If you will play from a copy of a
good
tune that is choppy, you'll get all my applause. And that is
play
simply because
some simple
I won't
melody.
Listen to rag.
Over the years, it's been Bing's speed of recording that's astounded. I know better than most about that speed. Once in that studio, things started to happen. Veteran pianist Ray Turner agrees.
We called him One Take Crosby. He didn't care to go and make 16 takes, you know, and all the stuff, take 3 or 4 hours to record a song. He'd come in at 8 o'clock in the morning. It was always early. And sometimes he probably hadn't seen the music yet.
Frankly, I don't think there's anybody better in the studio than Bing. He's the pure professional. Bing is probably one of the fastest studies I've ever worked with.
Boy, and he's certainly got the ears for the job. The Crosby record producer during the 50s and 60s was Sonny Burke.
He's got great ears. He has something that, obviously, you couldn't call it total recall, but it approaches total recall in that it doesn't take him long to get the feeling of a piece and learn it.
While I give to you, and you give to me true love, so on it'll always be true love for you and I have a guardian angel on high. To give to you and to give to me love forever true.
True Love, the 20th and last of Bing's gold discs, recorded in 1956 and from the film High Society, which starred Bing, Frank Sinatra, Louis Armstrong, and Grace Kelly.
I'd always longed to do a musical. And, of course, working with Bing Crosby and Frank Sinatra was simply marvelous. And it was a fun picture to do.
But for Grace, who shortly afterwards retired to marry and become Her Serene Highness, the Princess Grace of Monaco, it was almost the gold that got away.
They didn't want her to sing on the record. They thought when I made the record, it should be a better voice. Of course, I was determined to have Grace on a record that I thought had a chance to be a gold record, you know. And they had quite a squabble about it. She didn't know anything about this. She didn't care whether she sang it or not, I suppose. But she was delighted when she did sing it, and every time I see her, I hear from her, she says something about it.
Yes, and I have my gold record, which I'm very proud of. Of course, Bing really kind of pulls me through that. My brother made a very brotherly remark by saying that he thought that my voice on a golden record was one of the modern miracles. I was very delighted and pleased with that. I found it quite an experience to be recording with a big orchestra, and Bing made me feel very relaxed and helped me through it. He has a very deep voice, and my voice is rather thin and high, and it was a problem for this recording. I was supposed to sing the melody, and then there was too much difference in our voices that I had to sing the harmony then finally on the record.
For you and I have a guardian angel on high with nothing to do but to give to you and to give
late 60s and early 70s were lean years for Crosby record collectors. I guess he was too busy raising a second family. But during the past 18 months, he's been back in the studio with a vengeance. He's put together half a dozen 12-song albums recorded in London and made his debut at the London Palladium. Strangely, this intense activity followed an almost fatal illness involving critical emergency chest surgery, which meant the loss of two-fifths of his left lung and the threat I've never been able to sing professionally again. That was in January 1974. On the 19th of February 1975, Bing was in front of the Pete Moore Orchestra in a studio in London making the album That's What Life Is All About for record producer Ken Barnes.
Well, I went to San Francisco and put some plans before Bing. The idea I had for the album was to call it Bing Is Back on the Ball, or Bing Back on the Ball. And, well, Bing didn't really like that. He thought it was too much like Old Blue Eyes Is Back, and he said, I haven't retired, you know. He said, I've never really been away. So we came up with another title, and it was That's What Life Is All About.
These people from the UA had contacted me, and they'd been making some records with Mercer, and they sent me those records, and the Pete Moore arrangement sounded very good. I liked what they did. In the way of backing Johnny up. So when they came forth with the proposal that I come over there and make some records, why, I was agreeable. I remember many years ago, there wasn't as many good musicians as there are now in London. I think now there's just as many good men in London as there are in America, probably, in proportion to the amount of work there is. You can get a fine band together in London now without too much trouble.
Who would have thought what I would find